Okay, welcome back to Project Independence and You on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We're here today with David Linden, who is our co-host.
Howdy.
And we're having a wonderful conversation with Andrew Lampkin in reference to planning and special needs and IRAs and different things.
Estate planning.
Thank you, David. But one of the most important things, and one of the things I say often, is no choice is a choice. Because people put it off. And you came up with a better one, planning.
Failure to plan is planning to fail.
Right. And that's really what it is. And I often think, and I've said it at seminars, if people could come back from the grave and see what they did by putting it off, and unfortunately, you know what you're going to do. And that's it. You don't have the guts. And you know, the other side of it is, and this sounds a little sneaky, when it's red, if you want something to happen legitimately, when it's red, you're not there anyway. That if you really believe a daughter deserves nothing, a son doesn't, you know, a grandchild doesn't, guess what?
Not your problem.
It's a shame to say it. And I've had situations where somebody left out of a will sue. And many times it's just for love. They felt wrong. So, I mean, you got to turn around and say, listen, I'm leaving you the grandfather clock. You don't need the money. You know, you're a zillionaire and your brother is, you know, just getting by with three kids and one of them is special needs and yada, yada, yada. But some people, they read it and say, I was left out. But that's what I want to talk about, the importance of setting things up.
Well, it's very important, especially when you have a child or a grandchild with special needs. If anybody is inheriting from you and they currently receive government assistance in the form of Medicaid or SSI, you need to plan. If they receive an inheritance from you, they will be kicked off of government assistance. If they remain on government assistance, there is a way to protect the assets after the fact. And so what I want to do is just mention supplemental needs trusts.
Good.
A supplemental needs trust is a way to protect assets for somebody who is has a disability or receiving government assistance. And there's different ways to set up a supplemental needs trust.
Just going
to
slow you down. I have a person who's on a disabled adult child. The mother is 80 and she just passes away. He is getting benefits. How does he receive his $100,000? That's where we're going?
If the $100,000 was left to him outright?
Right, it's going to be left to him. So how is it best left to him?
Well, if she didn't do any planning,
right,
what's going to happen is that he receives the $100,000. If he talks to an attorney or his guardian or somebody on his behalf speaks to an attorney, what we're going to do is we're going to create what's called a first party supplemental needs trust. Legally, the money is now his. So because it's his money, we call it a first-party trust. There's a big downside to doing a first-party trust, and that is that in the trust there has to be something called a payback provision, which means when that child passes away, whatever amount of money is left in the trust will be paid back to the state of New York up to what the state has paid for throughout the person's life.
When he passes away.
So
okay.
An elderly parent doing some planning or, you know, doing a will would rather have whatever's left to stay in the family.
Of course.
That's the first downside. The second downside is that this kind of a trust, which is really planning after the fact, can only be set up by a parent, grandparent, legal guardian, or court order. So if you have an adult child who inherits from you and you're in your 70s or 80s and you pass away, there's a good chance that there's not another parent to set up the trust. There's probably no grandparent. There may not be a legal guardian, which means you need a court order. So now you're paying an attorney to go to court, filing a petition.
That's similar to guardianship type?
It's a similar type of process, but what you're creating is a lot of extra work after the fact because you didn't plan.
With a real outsider doing this now.
Yes.
Technically. Yeah. That's an important thing. It's a court appointment.
Well, and you could have one of your other children become the trustee through court, but the fact is that the work involved with going to court to create the trust is unnecessary.
Right.
Another reason why you should plan ahead.
And if you plan ahead, David, you can put in your will a trust that is created by operation of the will. So the will would say, when I pass away, my assets are going to go as follows. 50% to that child, 50% to my adult disabled child, but that child's portion goes into a trust. And by doing that, you're creating the trust within the will. Therefore, you don't have to go to court later on to create the trust.
And that's a special needs trust?
That would be a special needs trust, which is which is created by operation of the will.
Right, okay. And the thing is, too, without that, and this is the importance of planning also, you know, you have two children. Sometimes they get the money. I'm just saying $100,000 apiece. The healthy child or the whatever you call that child, they're not paying attention sometimes. They don't know what to do. And then a year goes by and next thing the government's coming in to take the money.
Sure.
I mean, it really, yeah. it behooves the person. If you have an interest in taking care and safeguarding your children's money, you have to do it yourself. Because the special needs person may not have any concept of what's going on. And the money could be spent in a couple of weeks. Oh, all yeah. of a sudden they get $100,000 yeah. no matter what they're hooked up with.
And by doing it in the will, you're controlling who's in charge.
Right.
So you might want your other child to be in charge. You might want an attorney, an accountant, or you might want to appoint a corporate trustee, or you might want to appoint a niece, nephew, cousin.
Yeah.
But you're in charge.
Let's go about appointing somebody. What's the pros and cons of appointing the sibling? Does it put the sibling in a terrible situation?
It
because
can.
If I'm coming to you, yeah. Andrew, saying, give me money, and you're saying, John, I gave you money last week.
And unfortunately, siblings nowadays tend to fight over money anyway.
No.
And it's probably more prevalent when one of the children has a disability. For whatever reason, they don't get along. Maybe they never had a great relationship growing up. So you could be putting your other child in a bad spot. So again, every family is different, and you have to think of what's best, and you don't want to put that child in a bad spot.
Yeah, generally speaking, it is better to have a neutral third party.
A lot of times it is better. There's companies out there that do it. Attorneys will do it, depending on the situation.
Now, can you do it? If you're writing your will,
yeah.
you can also be a trustee.
I can.
There's no conflict there. Okay,
there's
I don't know how it works.
I have been an executor for clients, a trustee. You know, there's a lot of disclosures. You have the client sign. Sometimes the attorney and the accountant don't want to do it because they don't want the phone calls every day either.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, but again, every case is
there
really,
a fee?
Yes.
As trustee? I mean, there's a fee for executor. I don't know what
yeah,
that is.
Yeah, there's statutory fees that a fiduciary can take, which is different for trustees and executors.
What's an executor?
Well, it's a percentage. There's no max. It depends on the size of the estate. It's a percentage.
Oh, okay.
And it's a sliding scale, so it's, you know, 5%, 4%, 3%, 2.5%.
The larger the estate,
yeah,
the less, okay.
It keeps changing depending on where your estate falls.
And a trustee situation?
Trustee is 1.5%.
Of the total assets they're managing?
On a yearly basis.
Okay. Now, does that take effect prior? If I set up a trust today and I die in 10 years, the trustee's not getting any compensation for the 10 years I'm alive.
No, because really the trust isn't in existence until you pass away.
Right, then it wouldn't be funded yet. Good point. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, that's you know, that makes sense. I mean, I like the idea.
And one other issue that you have with how to leave your disabled child money is a lot of people, I'd say 75% of the clients that come to me with these issues say, well, I'm just going to leave it to my other son and he'll take care of his brother. I'm not worried.
Mm-hmm.
And David, as you groaned over there, lots of issues.
Of course.
One is they're under no legal obligation to support their sibling. Two is, what if that child gets into a car accident and gets sued and didn't pay his car insurance?
Mm-hmm.
What if that sibling is married and gets divorced?
Right.
You know, it's really not a good idea. Now, if you want to leave that person $10,000, maybe it's not a big deal. But when you're looking at a larger amount of money, $100,000, even $50,000, the right way to do it is a trust. You're minimizing a lot of liability there.
Okay.
A lot of risk.
I have a question in reference to powers of attorney versus guardianships. The court would appoint me a guardian for somebody. Okay. However, you, Andrew, could appoint me as your power of attorney.
Yes.
A disabled person does not have the right, I mean, because of the capacity to appoint anybody as a power of attorney, it has to be done outside, or am I wrong there?
It depends on the nature of the disability. I mean, people could be receiving government benefits, but maybe for physical reasons, but cognitively, they're okay. And if they have the capacity to understand what a power of attorney is, and the person notarizing it feels comfortable that they do have that capacity and they understand what they're doing, there's no reason not to do it. And if it's borderline, do it anyway. And if you have to do guardianship later on, that's always an option.
Okay. That makes sense. You know, time not running out yet, but I just wanted to give out Andrew's phone number. I mean, we don't, as I say, I say this all the time, we don't endorse anybody on the radio show, but we really do our best to bring in what we feel are the most informed, most caring, most compassionate people to address the concerns of the people of the town of North Hempstead. Andrew can be reached at 516-605-0625. That's 516-605-0625. If anybody has a question, you know,
if you call now, we'll double the offer.
Yeah.
If you call in the next 5 minutes, David's paying the bill.
And the other thing too, which I want to make everybody aware of, Andrew does free consultations, which a lot of them should do. And they'll sit down for a while just to get an idea, because you have to sense if you like a person. You could walk in and say, oh boy, this is really, and he'll do it at your home. You'll come to the house and you have to be comfortable. And otherwise you just walk away from it. And you interview Andrew and a few others, because it's like doing stuff in your house. I don't mean it the way it sounds.
I say it to my wife all the time. If we need a new roof, we talk to three people.
Yeah. I agree.
I had a question. We've been talking about trust in terms of an older person doing it for a younger person or a disabled person. How about the reverse? Elderly parents, would you set up a trust for them?
I know we're short on time. The quick answer is it's a great question.
He wants to come back. Oh, come on, Andrew.
That's right. What I will say real quick is this. If you're an only child and you don't have kids and you're not married, and if you pass away, your money is going to your parents. If your parents are on Medicaid, you might want to set up a trust for them so that your money doesn't go to the state.
But it's true. But in that situation, they then have nobody. It almost makes sense to find a charity, to find something that makes sense.
You want it there for your parents to live off of.
Right.
And then maybe goes to third cousins twice removed.
Right. Yeah. Have that. It's amazing that you can have situations where the person has nobody.
Yeah, it happens, unfortunately.
But they have money. So, again, it comes down to finding out what they want to accomplish in their life.
Yeah.
And say, I really want to help dad or mom.
Remember it for doing after they die.
Right, 100%. There's no question about it. No, the area itself just requires, and we're basically out of time, but it's so important. I said it earlier, no choice is a choice. And what was your phrase again?
Failure to plan is planning to fail.
And that is so true.
Yes.
Because honestly, in a community like ours, in the town of North Hempstead, you go to some of these senior centers, and every week there's a story about somebody who passed away, and then this is happening, and now the daughter wants this, the son wants that, and no papers, they can't find. It doesn't take much to sit down. I mean, of course, it's inevitable, but you have to plan for things in life.
Money is a great solvent. It can split up anything.
It's the truth. At the end of the day, as opposed to it pulling a family together, it tears them apart. Anyway, we've been listening to Andrew Lampkin here, who is an elder law attorney out of Plainview. His number is 516-605-0625. We're definitely going to have Andrew back. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Project Independence on 88.1 FM.